verse number 39, this being Easter week, I just want to go over a few things before we get to Friday leading up to this. In Luke 23, verse 39, preach a little title this afternoon for just a little bit. It ain't over. Ain't you glad that it ain't over? Ain't you glad that his death wasn't the finish, it was the beginning. Even though he said it is finished, the finish with our sin, the sin debt that he had to take on the cross of Calvary, he died for it, but that wasn't the end for us. It was just the beginning when he died on that cross. So Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 39, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. And the Bible says, Luke 23 verse number 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. Father, I pray this afternoon as we look into your word that it ain't over. Lord God, I pray you show us exactly what we need to see in this text. Lord, I pray that you'd move in a mighty way. Father, Lord, I pray you'd move on the ones that are hurting. I pray you move on all the prayer requests, the ones that's been lifted up this afternoon, Father. Lord, I pray right now for Brother Charles. Lord, I lift him up as he goes tomorrow to the heart doctor. Lord, I pray right now that you move in a mighty way. Be with Ricky Caruth, Father, Lord God, as he's with his pacemaker and got things going on. Lord, I pray that you'd reach down in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you right now for Brother Johnny that he's home. Lord, I pray you get his knee working back the way it should. And Lord God, all the other prayer requests that's been mentioned tonight, Lord, I pray you'd have your hand on them. Lord, I pray for the one tonight that Sister Keela was talking about that has the cancer. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that you help them in a mighty way. Father, we love you. We thank you. We glorify you. I ask you to guard my throat tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come and we look in Luke chapter number 23, we see that it ain't over. If you look in the Word of God tonight, we see that at Calvary, the Word of God says that at Calvary, there were two men that were hanging beside the Son of God, Jesus Christ. They were two men, one on the right side, one on the left side, and he was right in the middle. But to look at that, you would say it's over. To see these men done nailed to the cross, to see these men already hung there, already sentenced, already hung on that cross, you and I both would almost think that it is over, that there's no hope for these individuals. But I want you to know, but as the story is told, it ain't over. You say, preacher, why ain't it over? Because that Jesus Christ is always going to be the man in the middle. He is always the man in the middle, not only on the cross, but for you and I with a relationship with God Almighty. He is the man in the middle. He is our high priest. He is the one that we go through. He is the one that we talk to. He is the one that has our intercession tonight. And tonight, if you look with me in verse number 39, I want you to know that it ain't over when your condition looks hopeless. Look with me in verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying. So I want to stop right there. When I tell you the condition looks hopeless, that thief had done been named. If you come here and you see these two thieves, both of them had done been named. Out in the world that they lived in, out in the places that they went, they had done been name. If they walked into a place like this, they'd have a name for them. If they walked in and sat on the front pew, you would have a name for them. You would know who they are. You would know their background. You would know what they had been through. Matthew, if you look back in the Gospels, in the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew called them a thief. He called both of them thieves. If you look here in Mark, and Mark called them transgressors. That'd be ones that broke the laws, ones that just broke the law and wouldn't do right. But here Luke came and he called them malefactors. And you say, preacher, what is that? What is a malefactor? That is a violator, somebody that violated the law, violated what the law of the land had, and would not stop. No matter what you did to them, no matter where you put them, where you bound them up, where you cast them to, or where you sent them to, they would not quit doing what they love to do. So that would be what they was. They was malefactors, and they must be put out or put away. And tonight, John called both of these men, he just called them anothers. If you go to John's gospel, he called them anothers. That'd be there was another statistic. If you look at these men, they had done been named on the cross. They had done had a name given to them. They had done been, the condition looked hopeless. I say they had done been named. But can I say to you tonight that these both of these thieves had done been nailed. They had done been nailed to these crosses. They had done been nailed to their cross. They had done been pinned down. And you say, preacher, what does that mean tonight? That means according to the religion, according to their way of life, that it was over. There was no hope for them. Maybe tonight somebody's done named you. Somebody's done labeled you. Somebody's done nailed you. And they think they know who you are. They think they got you pinned down. They think that there's no hope. I guarantee you tonight when I'm preaching this word, that there's somebody in your mind and you think, I don't know if God can help them. I don't know if God can touch them. I don't know if God can reach down. Preacher, I've seen them mess up all their life and they have not changed. Preacher, can they change? Will they change? I say to you tonight, if God Almighty gets a hold of them, they can change. Can I get an amen? I want you to know tonight that it ain't over when your condition looks hopeless. Even though you've been named and even though you've come to that place and you've been nailed, it ain't over. This one old boy on the cross, one of them railed on him and said, if thou be the Son of God, save yourself and save us. But there was one on there said, hey, we are doing justly for what we've done. He said, we've done been named and we've done been nailed. He said, but I want you to know, I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe He is who He said He'd be. You say, preacher, how do you know they've been nailed according to religion? Number one, they can't be baptized in the name of Jesus. Neither one of these men on the cross can be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost. It is over with. They're done nailed to the cross. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That shows me that baptism doesn't save. Can I get an amen? Hey, can I say to you tonight, there's a lot of folk that believe that a person gets, when they get baptized, they get saved. Folks, tonight I say to you that when a person gets born again, they ought to want to be baptized. They should be baptized. That's their first work of obedience. But tonight I want you to know these men had done been named and they done been nailed. They can't be baptized in the name of Jesus to the religious crowd. It's over. They can't join a church. They're done been nailed. They done been named. They can't be baptized. They can't join a church. They can't kneel down. They can't go to a carpeted altar. They can't read their Bible. They can't prove themselves to anyone, to the society that they live in. A lot of folks that when somebody gets saved, here's what they want to say. If you're really saved, I'm going to watch you. I want to see how you walk. I want to see how you do. They can't have a walk before anybody. They can't read their Bible. They can't help nobody. There's nothing they can do. They've done been named and they've done been nailed. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm here, still here to tell you tonight, it ain't over. Amen. No matter what's going on in your life, it ain't over. You keep fighting. You keep pushing on. No matter if you've been named, no matter if you've been nailed, you keep pushing on because it ain't over when your condition looks hopeless. And number two, it ain't over when your confession is honest. See, it's one thing, the condition that you're in, but when your confession gets honest. I've seen people, I'm telling you tonight, I've seen people that I just didn't know, and you just didn't know, and then that phone call comes in, and you go and you tell them about Jesus Christ, and you lead them down that road, and they get there and they confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and there's a change that comes in their life. You say, preacher, do you bet on what they did? I guarantee you I have confidence when they call on the name of Jesus, because I did nothing different in my life. I come to an old-timey altar and I just got down. I'm talking about I got down on where I knew I had to get in my heart, and I asked the Lord to come into my life and save me. I believed that He was the Son of God. I didn't confess all my sin. I just confessed I was a sinner. Can I get an amen? Friends, tonight, can I say to you, you must realize you're a sinner and that He is the Savior. Amen? He said tonight, it ain't over when your condition looks hopeless. And it ain't over when your confession is honest. Look at verse number 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? He said, preacher, what about this confession that's honest? Number one, he said, I fear God. Number one, the man said, I fear God because I have heard Him. Look in verse number 34 of this text. He said, I fear God because I've heard Him. I've heard His word. I'm nailed right here beside Him, and I've heard the word that He says. I heard in verse number 34, I was there that day. Even though I'm hanging on the cross, I'm here. I understand that He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, I know that. He said, He parted their raiments and cast lots. He said, I heard that when He said it. I heard that when He let that go forth. And I believe this man can save. He said, I fear Him. But even though I fear Him, I've also failed Him. See tonight that when that confession is honest, you fear Him, but you also know that you failed Him. Can I get a witness this afternoon? Look with me if you will here. He said, but he won't fail me. Verse number 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? Here's where he failed Him. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, man, let me tell you, my confession's honest. I fear him. I know he is the Son of God. I fear him, but I've also failed him. And I want him to know that my confession's honest, and I'm willing to call out on him. I'm willing to call out on his name. Tonight, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever got to that place in your life where you say, Lord, I'm done. It's all about you. He said, I fear him. I failed him. And he said, here's what he said. He said, I can't fool him. You see, somebody, when they get honest, they realize that they failed God, and they can't fool him. You might can fool your pastor. You might can fool your husband. You might can fool your wife. But God knows when you're real and when you're not. God knows when you're honest and when you're not. God knows when you're sincere and when you're not. He said, preacher, how do you know that? Because I see it on the cross. I see when he looked over at that man that said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. He knew exactly that man was sincere. He knew that man was sincere. He knew that he needed forgiveness. Tonight, if you need forgiveness, God is in this room tonight. He said, I can't fool him. I'm just hanging here. I'm just hanging the way that I know that I should be hanging. But he is Lord. Let me go on with this tonight. I want to show you this. Look with me in verse number 41 where he admitted, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus, see, we have the admitted, and now we have the confession. He said, and Jesus, he said, when thou comest, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I see that he got free indeed. I want to give you this. When your condition looks hopeless, it ain't over. When it ain't over when your confession is honest. Tonight I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you was truly honest with yourself? You was truly honest with yourself. I want to give you this also. It ain't over because a conversion will happen. I want to stop right here. A conversion will happen. What is a conversion? You've been changed. You've been changed. You said, preacher, don't like much change in this man's life. Well, you won't always see it on the outside. If you looked at Jason Silas, you wouldn't have seen a change. If anything, a decline. I've been thinking about it. It'd have been a decline. This man, 300 pounds, and cancer got a hold of his life and got down pretty low. You just said, now he just got saved. Should he not have been on the mountaintop shouting glory? Hey, they don't also always come on the outside. This man hung on the cross, even though he got saved, he was still hung. Even though his verdict was still there, he was still guilty. He was still hanging on that cross. Even though he was honest in his confession, the conversion still happened, even though he was still hung there. Let me show you this. Why? Because he had a little talk with Jesus. Look at this. He reverenced Jesus as Lord. I want to show you this here where he said this. In verse number 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord. He didn't call him master. He called him Lord. What does that mean? He said, he's putting him above everybody. He said, you are my Lord. He said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. He reverenced Jesus as Lord. Not only did he reverence Jesus, but he requested of Jesus. He requested of Jesus. What did he request? Remember me. Remember me. You ever been to a place where you, Lord, I can't go no further. Just remember me. Just help me. He reverenced Jesus. He requested from Jesus, and the response came from Jesus. I want to show you this response when it came from Jesus. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I see not only he reverenced, he requested, but he got a response. I went back and I told you that the thief had been named. The thief had been nailed. But can I say to you, the thief had been numbered with the saints at this moment. I want to stop right there. I don't want to get into Sunday. I want to stop right here. Just because you've been named and just because you've been nailed doesn't mean you can't be numbered with the saints. Never let your past define your future. Never let nobody hold you in your past because you have a future. This man that's on the cross, listen to me. If he would have listened to the man beside him, he'd have been in trouble. But he listened to the man that was on the other side, the man in the middle. And here's what he said. He said, Lord, remember me. Okay? Let me give you this. Just a thought. Just a pondering. I want you to think. Leading into Easter, right? Friday's coming. We done had Palm Sunday. Where they's hollering, Hail the King. Man, they's loving him, clothing him, in love with him. Then that same crowd come Friday, they's hollering, Crucify him. Crucify him. Do you think that thief on the cross, do you think he heard him hollering, Hail King? Oh, yeah. Do you think on Friday he heard them holler, crucify him? Oh, yeah. He was right there with him. But let me give you this. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Shalt thou be with me in paradise. According to the scriptures, when they went around to break the legs so they would suffocate and die, no longer able to push up, what did they do when they come to Jesus? Not a bone broken. The Bible says the reason it wasn't a bone broken because it was according to Scripture. The reason a bone wasn't broke because it's according to Scripture. He was done dead. They didn't take his life. If they'd have broke his legs, they'd have had the authority to take his life. He gave his life. Folks, listen to me. Ain't nobody took nothing from him. He laid it down. Satan ain't got the authority over Jesus Christ. He didn't take his life. He didn't break his legs. He didn't suffocate him. He laid his life down freely. As Brother Cullen said tonight when we started, he laid it down because he is guilty. Yeah, he was guilty. He is guilty of love in the first degree. That's why he had to go to Calvary. Because he is guilty of love in the first degree. That's why he had to go. But when they got over there to the thieves, Jesus has done died. Jesus has done died. And when he gets over to these thieves, they had to break their legs. They broke their legs. Hello? Everybody wait with me. They broke their legs. And they died. When did that thief meet Jesus? Who said immediately? Immediately. Could he have been the first one to go through the blood? Just ponder your little mind. I've been chewing on that. Could he have been the first one to go through the blood? Jesus died. Jesus died on that cross. And immediately, not very long after, that thief died. Did he have to wait 3 days? Ain't what the Bible says. The Bible says today. That means that I'm going to die. And then when you're going to die, you coming on with me. I don't know a whole lot, but I know this. When I lay down my body here and they lay this body in the ground up here in front of this church one day, you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be with Jesus. Today. Why, Brother Boyd? Because I settled that on August 27, 2007 in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I asked him to come into my life and he saved me today. Today. He said today. Now, how long is that day? I don't know how long that day's been for me. It's been years now. But I still know when that body's laid down, I'm going to be at home with Jesus. I want you to get this. When they broke that legs and that thief died, I believe he was with Jesus immediately. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible also says in Hebrews 9:27, appointed unto man once to die. Appointed. That thief's appointment was on that cross. What does that teach you? What does that teach me? That teaches me no matter what goes on in my life, no matter how close I am to death, Jesus is right there beside me. He is walking right there beside me, hand in hand. Let me show you this in the scripture here. Let me go on down through here. I want to show you something. I want to show you this tonight. It ain't over because he'd been numbered with the saints. Look with me, if you will, in verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there were darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the tent was rent in the mist. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, The centurion soldier sat there and he saw what was done. He saw Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. He glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned, and his acquaintances. And the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. What did they behold? They beheld their Savior crucified on the cross. They heard the conversation go back and forth. I say to you tonight, it ain't over when your condition looks hopeless. The thief had been named, the thief had been nailed. It's not over when your confession is honest. And it ain't over because when your conversion will happen. So tonight I ask you this question. I ask you this question. Has that change happened in your life? I'm so thankful tonight that I see Brianna, then I seen Briley here tonight. I'm so thankful that after somebody gets saved, they get baptized, they come back to church. You say, preacher, that's how it's supposed to go. That ain't how it always goes. I'm so thankful tonight for that. But I want to show you this in verse number 50. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. And the same had consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself wanted for the kingdom of God. And this man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Now, this is on Friday. He begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down, and he wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And the day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the woman also which came with him from Galilee followed after it, and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments. That's leading us up to Sunday. That's leading us up to Sunday. That's leading us up to the resurrection. You said, what all Jesus go through? Everything he went through was for you and I. Everything he went through was for you, and he went through for me tonight. I say that to say this tonight. As I was at Jason's funeral today, and I got to preach that word, and I got to understand that today, sitting there just watching folks come in, watching folks love on that family. I got thinking about this right here. What if he would not have called on Jesus? That would have been a sad time. I had no clue on 2/2/2025 he was going to call on the name of the Lord. Never knew on January the 15th that he'd be diagnosed with cancer. And on April the 13th, he'd go home and be with the Lord. He said, preacher, that's awful close. How close was you? How close am I? Nobody has ever been as close as that thief on the cross. He had done been named. He had done been nailed, but today he's numbered with the saints. What does that teach you and I? Don't give up on nobody, even though it looks like it's over. You keep pouring into them. You keep loving them. You keep lifting them up to the Father. You keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. You never know what God will do. That little girl, 18-year-old, come over there where I was at. I done told this, but I'm going to tell you again. Touched my heart dearly. Tears flowing down her face. She had to choke it back up. And here's what she said. She said, Brother BJ, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that, hon? She said, when I was 16-year-old, I got praying for Jason that he'd be saved. And I've been praying. I've been praying. And now I'm 18. 19 in a couple weeks. About 3 years I've been praying that he'd get born again. She said, preacher, what does that mean? That means somebody had a desire in their heart to pray for somebody. I want to leave this with you. When was the last time you got on a burden so heavy that you prayed for a lost loved one? Can you imagine that thief? Whew, glory. Can you imagine that thief that hung on the cross? I know that Jesus' mother was there. His earthly mother was there. I know John was there, the beloved. I know he was there because he said, John, behold thy mother. Take care of her. But I wonder about that thief's relatives. I wonder if they was around the cross. And if they looked up, they said, it's too late, it's over. I wonder who this week we could invite to Easter Sunday. Say, what you come to the house of God? You say, preacher, you don't know, I ain't talked to them in years. If I call them, I'm probably going to get a tongue lashing. Might be worth a tongue lashing. Just tell somebody about Jesus. I want to go ahead and anticipate and be ready for the service come Sunday. I want to have pews already lined down the aisle. I want to be ready for what God's called us to do. I want to be ready when they walk in. They don't see us unprepared, but they see us prepared. Because you never know who's going to walk through that door that's going to need Jesus. If you had told me Brianna back there needed Jesus when she walked through the door, I'd told you, I don't know. She looked happy. She looked put together. She looked like everything was going good, like nothing was going wrong. But you know what? We don't know the heart of man. Only God knows the heart. So I want to challenge you this Wednesday night. This has been on my heart. This Wednesday night, I want to challenge you. Invite somebody to church Sunday morning. Invite somebody to church Sunday morning and see what God will do. He said, preacher, I'm here to tell you it ain't over. Let us pray. Father, I love you. And Father, I praise you. I glorify you. I lift up no other name but the name of Jesus. Father, tonight I'm asking you to do a mighty work in this place. Lord, I'm asking you not to send numbers Sunday, but I'm asking you to send names. I'm asking you to put names on our hearts that we would cry out to you, that you would save them, get them out of the condition that they're in. No matter how gloom, how doom it looks, Lord, I pray you move in a mighty way. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the ones that's in this room tonight. Lord God, I thank you for mercy. I thank you for grace. Lord, I thank you for the cross of Calvary. Father, I know that Jesus hung there in my spot, my place. And Lord, I never want to take that for granted. And Lord, I ask you tonight to move in a mighty way. Lord, I'm asking you tonight to put somebody on our heart tonight, a specific name that we would know. Lord God, it would burn in our spirit to reach out to them. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for all the kids that are in class. I thank you for all the teachers that are teaching. Because, Lord, we keep pouring into people because it ain't over. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. Bless this congregation tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. Love on Sunday.